Good morning. It's good to see you today. Thankful for another beautiful Sunday morning. And a little warmer than we expected, but nice. I'm thankful to be in the Lord's house with you folks today. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 1, we're continuing on in the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom. So many things here that as I was studying for this lesson, I was reminded how many truths are repeated in the book of Proverbs, stated and then repeated. You know, sometimes we need repetition, don't we? They say repetition is the key to learning. The height of learning is being able to teach on a particular subject. But being able to teach, you have to repeat. You have to learn. You have to know and you have to share. I feel inadequate when I teach the book of Proverbs because it's inexhaustible. There's more here than can be shared, than I can comprehend, than you can comprehend, than the depths of God's Word. But we find that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So even though this may be have originally given primarily to the sons of to the son of Solomon, but it was given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we can apply it to our lives. And we might not be that young anymore, but there's still truths that we can apply. And not only that, we can share it with our children and grandchildren and with our neighbor's children and those that we come in contact with that we can be of influence and help with. So I'm thankful for the book of Proverbs. I want to encourage you to read a proverb every day, one that corresponds to the day of the month. Read it every day. Some folks have told me that they've been doing that for quite some time, and I'm thankful to hear that. We want to look in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, 20 through the end of the chapter today. A lot here. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. They that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." A couple of key verses here I want you to take note of before we look at the entire passage. The last two verses in this passage, actually, verse 32 and 33, it says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Kind of concisely says what has been said in this passage as far as those that reject the wisdom of God and the Word of God. In verse 33 it says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." What a comforting verse. I'm thankful that verse was added to the end of that for those who have trusted in the Lord, those that have received the wisdom of God. Now, a couple of things that I think we need to make mention of this morning about this wisdom of God. We've noted that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the wisdom of this world, and there's a wisdom of this world, and then there's a wisdom of God. And so we can see that. It's evident. We're aware of it everywhere we turn. is this talking, is this message to lost people? Is this message to saved people? Well, the truth is that a saved person has the Spirit of God and has a means of discernment that a lost person does not have. Amen. Now, how extensive that is depends on how much we ask for the wisdom and help from the Lord as far as a saved person is concerned. It's possible for a saved person to be wiser than they are. Amen. Because the Bible says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. And we can have it. We can have the wisdom of God. The only way that a lost person can have the wisdom of God is to be saved first, to trust the Lord, to take Him at His word, have their sins forgiven, pass from death unto life. That's the only way. And then the Spirit of God comes to reside. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. So there is a discernment and an awareness and a protection and a guidance that we have that the Spirit of God gives to those who are saved that the lost world does not have. And we need to be aware of that. Now, I've heard foolishness. Is it possible to reject foolishness and accept wisdom? Why, of course it is. We see in this passage very clearly that it is possible for us to have the wisdom of God. It is possible. So why would we reject it? What is the enemy of our receiving of the wisdom of God? It's ourself. It's our pride. It's our self-sufficiency. It's saying, I don't need it. I can do it myself. Amen. Well, that's a foolish statement right there, isn't it? Fool has said in their heart, there is no God. Now, we apply that properly to atheists, but what about those of us who are saved that live as though there is no God? That get away from the Lord and act and behave and carry on, make decisions, make choices like there is no God, like there is no one to ask for help, for guidance and direction. How foolish it is to go through this life without the wisdom of God, without the help of the Lord. He desires to help us. He desires to give us that direction that we need. Look at these first verses here. We see here in verse 20. And 21. It says, verse 20, wisdom crieth without. If wisdom could speak, this is the voice of wisdom. It says, wisdom crieth without or outside in the world. There is a voice of truth that goes out. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her word saying. So the truth is available, isn't it? Amen. It's available to those who will receive it. You see, light received increases light. Light rejected increases darkness. Now, that's true for the lost that have faced the truth or considered the truth or rejected the truth. Light received increases light. Light rejected increases darkness. For a saved person, if I reject the truth, the direction, the conviction, if the Lord speaks to my heart and tells me to do something or to stop doing something, if I fail to obey Him, then He's not going to give me any more direction until I act upon the truth that He's already given me. I must obey the truth that He's already given me. And that's the availability of the truth of wisdom. Now, these, when we're talking about this wisdom that's in the book of Proverbs, and especially in this passage, and when you read on, especially these first three chapters, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in this. We see Him. We see how He behaved, what He did, what He said, that He is the embodiment of wisdom. And so that truth and that understanding that He has given the message, He has shared the truth. He desires for people to hear and to know the truth. I'll give you a couple of verses here. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. In Isaiah 44, verse 3, he says, for I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Is there Is there something about a desire for wisdom and a desire for the truth, a desire for direction? Most certainly there is. Because why would the Lord show me His will or show me His direction if I'm not willing to do it?
Right.
You see, a lot of, especially young people today, I remember when I was a teenager, I was hoping that the Lord had shown me what I was going to do for the rest of my life. Guess what? He didn't. He said, I'm not going to show you what you're going to do for the rest of my life, but I will do this. If you live for me today, I'll take care of tomorrow.
Amen.
If you'll trust me for today, I'll take care of tomorrow.
Amen.
It's a day by day following the Lord.
Amen.
And so, let me give you another verse. This is good. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. You say, well, that applies to lost folks receiving the truth. Yes, but it also applies to us saved folks in obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. Now, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, this is a message, I believe, for salvation. It says, and the spirits and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. A desire, a thirst, a longing to obey the Lord, to follow the Lord, to have His wisdom, to have His understanding, to have His guidance. To have the mind of Christ. Is that not what it is? To have the mind of Christ? That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, the Apostle Paul said. Well, it says, she crieth in the chief place of concourse. And this is what she says in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Isn't it sad? As we look at this world, isn't it sad that the majority of this world has rejected the truth of God?
Amen.
That's a sad thing, isn't it? Because it's so evident that there is a God. His creative handiwork is on every hand. Even when we look in the mirror, we see His creative handiwork. I mean, the way He put us together describes and tells us that there is a God. He even knew how to put our nose on straight. Did you know that? Well, if it was upside down, we'd drown in a rainstorm.
Amen.
He knew what He was doing when He put us together. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We can see that there is a God, and it's sad that this world cannot say, well, there is a God out there, and I want to know Him. Those who do can, because God will get them the truth if they want to know it. Some way, somehow, why is it that God calls missionaries to remote parts of this world? Is it just because to get the message out to the entire world? That's part of it, yes. And they act in obedience to the Lord. But it's probably true that somebody there wants to know the truth.
That's right. Yeah.
Somebody there is interested in knowing where they came from, why they're here, and where they're going.
Yeah.
And this is the only place that you'll find those answers.
Right.
Where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. He says, how long, you simple ones? This word simple ones is just simply someone who is a follower, someone who delights to follow someone, even if it's going the wrong direction. Because they don't want to make a decision upon on their own. They don't want to take a chance on being wrong. And that, again, we talked about this earlier about gangs and how they have a group of followers that just want to belong to something regardless of their actions and their behavior. But they feel glad to belong to something. They feel like they're welcome and wanted in something. It's sad. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning? I haven't talked a lot about the scorning. I want to share a verse with you here, about a couple verses about the scorners. A scorner, by the way, is one who despises as well as one who rejects the truth. They not only reject the truth, but they despise the truth. You remember The Pharisees and the scribes, many of them not only rejected the truth, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, but they scorned Him as well. They despised Him. Even the Judaizers that came about and those other Pharisees that followed around the Apostle Paul, there were many that did not want the message of the gospel to get out, the preaching of the Apostle Paul to be received. They not only didn't want to receive it themselves, but they didn't want anybody else believing it either. And that was almost, even we'll look at the life of the Apostle Paul before he was saved. Saul of Tarsus, what did he do? Almost with a supernatural desire trying to destroy God's people. Well, he didn't want to believe it, but he didn't want anybody else believing it either. That's what a scoffer is. A scorner. Look at verse 12. Let me give you verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Why? Because he knows more about it than they do. John chapter 3 and verse 2, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The scorner. But then Proverbs chapter 6 verse 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Now if I'm in a position, if I'm in a job, if I find myself... And children are in this position, and employees are in this position, and church members are in this position, and we're almost always in this position that we need instruction. It says, then reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Does anybody like to be told what to do? I don't. I really don't. I don't like it when my wife tells me what to do. I mean, I kind of rebel, and then do it anyway. And I've said, you know, if somebody asks me to help them with something or to do something, I'll break my neck doing it. But if they tell me to do it, I kind of, you know, ruffle up at that a bit. It says, reproofs of instructions are the way of life. It's part of life, folks, that we're going to be reproved and corrected, boys and girls, moms, dads, grandpa, grandma. That's the way it is. So humble yourself, receive the truth, and enjoy the blessings of obeying the Lord and doing that which is right. There's blessings there. And let's look at this passage here. Look at the progression here. Look at verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Wow, there is the availability of doing the right, making the right decision. I've heard people say, and you probably heard the expression yourself, that you can't fix stupid.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Amen.
Well, stupid can be fixed. It can be. Did you know some of the foolish things we do could be borderline on stupidity?
Oh, yes. Amen.
Should I give you any examples? I gave you one or two already of some foolish things I did that borderlined on stupidity. You ever heard the saying, stupid is as stupid does? Yeah. Well, what is the answer to that? Well, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. The answer is receiving. The answer is accepting. The answer is obey. Just listening to the Lord and letting Him guide our steps and our thoughts. Now, speaking of these scorners, those that hate God and hate the truth, heard a story about someone was talking to a scorner, atheist, so to speak, and they said, I don't believe the truth. I don't think it's good for us. I don't think it's believable. I just think it's a book of lies. Turn over in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 33. Look at verse 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the bringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. I heard about a person who said, I don't believe it. It's a bunch of lies. And the Christian reached over and grabbed his nose and wring his nose. Started bleeding. He said, well, that much of it's true, isn't it? Won't that get your attention? Doesn't the Bible say the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood? Well, the scoffer said, I don't believe the Word of God. Well, that much of it is true. Well, there's factual things about the Word of God is true, but there's spiritual truths that go beyond that. And they must be accepted and believed and followed and obeyed. Look at verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, looking at this verse, when we consider laughter in one respect, in Psalm 37, verse 13, if you want to write that down, the Lord shall laugh at him, for seeth that his day is coming. There's a couple of other references that talking about the Lord laughing. It's not the laughing that God gets a kick or joy or happiness out of folks refusing to obey him. It's not that kind. It's like seeing someone out there with a pitchfork. You know what a pitchfork is? Trying to beat back the tide with it. You're not going to do any good with that. That's not going to affect me at all. That's the response of an evil, wicked person. God says, you cannot conquer me by your unbelief. You cannot overcome me by your wickedness. Folks have said, yeah, I'm going to hell when I die, and I'm going to be there with all my friends. There will be no friends in hell. There'll be no friends there. And folks talk about hell like it's nothing, like they're not afraid to go there, or that it's just a joke. It's not a joke. It's sad. But the wickedness and the failure of folks to believe and to receive and to obey God's word is just, it's like a gnat fighting against the Lord. We cannot fight against the Lord. What God says is going to happen regardless of whether I believe it and accept it or not. I mentioned, you know, some folks say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, when God said it, that settled it, whether we believe it or not. So that's the picture that's being given here about this verse, about the Lord laughing. I will also laugh at your calamity, your wisdom laughing. I will mock when your fear cometh. It's kind of like what the world and what the rejectors and what those that refuse to accept the truth and to ask for the wisdom of God, it's what they're doing now. They're laughing and mocking at the truth of God. Now, verse 27, it says, when your fear cometh as desolation. Notice that there's going to be a reaping. There's going to be consequences. You know, we might make choices, but we can't choose the consequences for our choices. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, that could be like a tornado. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Now, why is that? Verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose. Make note of that. Did not choose the fear of the Lord. So there's a choice that has been made. And the choice was made, and then the consequences followed, and then mercy was asked for. Heard of someone say one time that they prayed the prayer, they got themselves in trouble, and they said, Lord, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll get myself out of the next one. How foolish a statement is that? Lord, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll get myself out of the next one. That doesn't work that way. And the importance of asking for wisdom at the beginning of our life, at the beginning of our deed or chore or work. So important. Have you ever, maybe I shouldn't ask this, I don't want anybody, have you ever bought a car that you shouldn't have bought?
Yes.
Ever bought a lemon?
Yeah.
Did you pray about it before you bought it?
Yeah.
What did you do with it after you got it? Did you get all your money back? I think he's saying, listen, we have the opportunity to make the right choice now if we do not, if we fail to ask the Lord, to seek the Lord, to obey the Lord, when the Spirit of God is saying, don't do that, don't go there, don't say that, don't do that, and we do it anyway, and we start to reap the consequences, then we cry out, Lord, forgive me, Lord, help me, Lord, get me out of this mess that I've got myself into. I've done that. I've asked for the Lord to help me get myself out of the mess that I got myself into. I've asked Him for help, but you know what? I was embarrassed to do it because I'm the one, He didn't do it.
Yeah, right.
I did it. And I didn't ask Him before what I should do. Lord, help me. Get me out of this mess. Well, I still had to reap what I'd sown. What does it say here? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose fear of the Lord. Again, remembering the fear of the Lord is a reverential respect. It's a fear of displeasing the Lord. It's a fear of disappointing the Lord. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's a reverential respect, knowing who He is, but having that love and respect for Him that we would not want to disappoint Him or displease Him. Did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, remember the therefores, what the therefores are there for? Refers back to what's already been said. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Well, let me share a couple of verses with you. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Jeremiah 2 verse 19. This is a good verse. Jeremiah says in verse 19, all of them are good by the way, but this very, very powerful verse. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know thee therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Said it very clearly and concisely, didn't he? That was what the Lord said through Jeremiah. In Galatians 6 verses 7 and 8, this is the familiar verses that you are familiar with. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You say, well, this is applying to, yes, it's a general rule to the saved and to the lost that we're going to reap what we sow. If we sow corn, do we reap beans? No. There is a law of sowing and reaping. Have you heard of the law of sowing and reaping? You see, you sow, you're going to reap more than you sow, right? And you're going to reap it later than you sow. But wouldn't it be nice if you could plant a crop or plant a garden and the next day go out and it'd be there already, ready to go? You know, it takes some time, doesn't it? You're going to reap more than you sow, and you're going to reap later than you sow, but you will reap. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now if you would look at this verse 32. It says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The turning away of the simple, this is the turning away from the truth, or the turning away from the right direction, or those that could help and be a blessing. The Bible clearly talks about the counsel of the Lord, but it talks about safety and the multitude of counselors, those that can help us, those that can give us good advice and godly advice. The turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I was looking at this, and God gave me this verse, Psalm 69, verse 22, Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been by their own welfare, let it become a trap. The very fact that we reap later than we sow, we're going to reap what we sow, more than we sow, and later than we sow, but the very fact that we reap later than we sow, with fools or folks that are not following the Lord, it gives them a false sense that everything's okay because payday wasn't on Friday. They didn't reap immediately for their bad action. I got away with that. No, didn't get away with it. The chickens will come home to roost. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I'm thankful to get to verse 33. What a blessing. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. This safety, the peace, that everything's okay between us and the Lord, regardless of what happens in this world, in this life. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There is a peace that only God can give. There's a peace that only He can give, that only we can have by trusting in Him and waiting on Him and just resting in the Lord. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. There is a listening. What does it mean to hearken? It means to hear, and it means to obey, right? Parents can say to their children, hearken unto me. It has a twofold meaning. It means listen and obey. You ever, and it's so, it's not really funny, but it's when you children, grandchildren, have you ever told your children to do something and they weren't paying attention?
No.
And it went in one ear and out the other? Did you know that happened with the disciples of the Lord when He spoke to them many times? Sometimes all they were thinking about was what they were going to say to Him when He was quiet. They didn't hear what He was saying. And they certainly didn't hearken, because had they hearkened, they would have heard and obeyed. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. This word evil means calamity. Now it can, bad, wicked things, that applies, yes. Wickedness, yes. But calamity, trouble. What are we going to do if we have troubles today? Are we going to point our bony finger in the Lord's face and say, Lord, You don't love me? You don't care about me? Doesn't Romans 8:28 say, for all things work together for good to them who love God,
amen,
to them who are called according to His purpose? Does it say all things are good?
No.
It says He works all things together for good. But isn't there a qualifier there? The ones who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Loving and called according to His purpose shall be quiet from fear of evil. Listen to this verse. Write it down if you would. This is a good one too. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14, 26. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your blessings today and for this time. Lord, we feel so inadequate to so much here that could be and should be said. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us to receive it, help us to obey it. Lord, we are responsible for it. We know that it is possible and it is right to obey You, to hear You. Lord, help us to do so. Help us to never turn away from You, but to go toward You and to desire You, desire Your will, desire Your word, desire Your help. Lord, help us to never be too proud to ask for help. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless this time in our hearts together. In Jesus' name, amen.